deep impression left on Duke by Bechet has been commented on by Duke's son, Mercer Ellington.
Sidney Bechet was one of Pop's early influences and inspirations. He heard him the first time in the Howard Theater in Washington, D.C. around 1921. The number he dedicated to him in the New Orleans suite was to have been featured and played by Johnny Hodges, who had learned so much from Bechet. But Johnny died the day before the recording session, so the sax soloist you hear now is the late, great Paul Gonzalez.
This is A Portrait of Sidney Bechet by Duke Ellington, and you're listening to Jazz Rhythm, the best in jumping swing, classic blues, hot jazz, old and new. I'm Dave Radlauer. Just ahead, we'll learn about bassist Jimmy Blanton and trumpeter Rex Stewart, including some of Rex's comments on fellow Ellingtonians, in this last program celebrating the Duke Ellington centenary, 100 years since the birth of Edward Kennedy Ellington, born April 29th, 1899. I'm always interested in your comments on the program and try to answer any questions I can. I can be reached through the Jazz Rhythm website at www.jazzhot1wordbigstep.com. Portrait of Sidney Bechet by Duke Ellington on Jazz Rhythm from a rare radio series that was issued sometime in the early 70s by the Social Security Administration. Now, the name of Jimmy Blanton should be much better known than it is. He was the first truly modern jazz bassist. His innovations liberated string bass and brought it into full equality with the other jazz instruments. In a tragically brief career, Blanton was the first to present bass like a horn, improvising, soloing, playing melody, and phrasing with eighth and 16th note runs, while still providing powerful rhythmic support for the band. And as usual, new abilities brought into the band stimulated in Ellington new ideas for his own music and inspired fresh creative growth. All this Blanton achieved in a very short 2 years, making 150 recordings with Duke between 1939 and 41. Blanton sadly died prematurely in his mid-20s of tuberculosis shortly afterwards. But his innovations not only inspired followers like Oscar Pettiford, Charles Mingus, and Ray Brown, but led directly to the creation of the bop rhythm section. Here's two extraordinary examples. Pitter Panther Patter, an innovative duet by Blanton with Ellington, in Ellington's all-too-rare role as a featured pianist. And Bojangles, subtitled A Portrait of Bill Robinson. This is, incidentally, Duke's tribute to Bill Robinson, the grand tap dancer beloved in Harlem, the Cotton Club, and in at least one movie with 30s child star Shirley Temple, where he did his famous tap dancing up and down stairs routine. So now listen to how strongly Jimmy Blanton drives the band and yet maintains a strong, independent voice on string bass.
Stewart remembers Jimmy Blanton. A genius. One of those rare individuals who appeared to be made of finer clay than his fellow musicians. His amazing talent sparked the entire band. Despite his youth, there was a certain calm assurance, and you could sense this permeating his public and private life. His greatest fans were people like Serge Koussevitzky, conductor of the Boston Symphony. One night in New York, Stravinsky spent the entire evening enjoying Blanton. And when Duke introduced them, Jimmy amazed us by talking with a great composer as easily as if Igor Stravinsky was just one of the fellows on the corner. Thank you. It was funny to compare Jim with his road buddy Ben Webster, who was older and always into some escapade. Somehow, Blanton had a quieting effect on Ben, and it certainly seemed as if Ben felt responsible for Jimmy. Ben would watch over the kid he nicknamed Bear like a mother hen. Jimmy loved his instrument, holding it close like it was a woman, playing with his face near the strings, listening to every sound.
Remarkable string bass work by Jimmy Blanton. We heard Bojangles, A Portrait of Bill Robinson with the full band, and an unusual duet, a very famous one, Pitter Panther Patter, Duke Ellington at the piano, Jimmy Blanton on string bass. This is Jazz Rhythm, and I'm Dave Radlauer, taking this opportunity in the year of our Duke's 100th year to exercise my own deep love and fascination with the music of Duke Ellington and the musicians who were the constituent parts of that greater whole that was Ellington's orchestra. Thanks for being with me. I hope this music and topic are as fascinating and enthralling for you as they are for me. Now, Rex Stewart is next in this remarkable collection of musicians who were known collectively as the Ellingtonians. Rex played fine trumpet, although he favored cornet, I think, a lot more. He was a fresh and original improviser, composer, and a bandleader in his own right. But Rex Stewart was also much more. For one, he was a keen observer of his fellow Ellingtonians. He wrote a couple of books recalling his 10 years with the band and wrote frequently on the topic of jazz and Ellington for numerous magazines and publications like Downbeat, the Los Angeles Times, Esquire, Playboy, and jazz publications in the United States and Europe. My impression is Rex just must have been a heck of a guy. He hosted a jazz radio program in the LA area for some years, and his nickname in the band was Fat Stuff. Now, stylistically, Rex developed a very distinctive voice of his own, though when he wanted to, he could display strong affinities to Louis Armstrong, blowing loud, brash, and open, or Bix Beiderbecke, playing sensitively with gloriously pure tone, or Cootie Williams with the signature plunger mute sound. One Stewart innovation was his so-called half-valve effect that he used to bend and smear notes expressively. So in this set, we'll hear Rex Stewart's personal style in his own small group of Ellingtonians. This was one of the most successful and very first of the Ellington spin-off bands. From around 1940, here's Mobile Bay. These sessions included Ellingtonians Ben Webster on tenor, Lawrence Brown trombone, Ellington piano, and Jimmy Blanton string bass. Thank you. Rex Stewart's so-called orchestra, it was a small Ellington spin-off band, one of the many Ellingtonian small groups, Mobile Bay, written by Rex.
Rex described his first memorable and terrifying moments playing with the band in 1935. I sat for the very first time in the brass section of the great Duke Ellington Orchestra, completely bewildered. The stage was blacked out while Sonny Greer's timpani roared like a pride of hungry lions in the jungle. Then came the somber strains from the sax sections, evoking a mental image of a giant python slithering up on the lions. Next came a sound which could be likened to a baboon cursing his mate. That was Goody Williams making the opening statement via his growling trumpet. As each sound came into focus, it would be embellished by a corresponding baby spotlight directed to the section. This lasted for about 2 minutes, and it built up chord upon chord, section upon section, until a giant dinosaur shuddered in the ecstasy of conquest. This diminished into a murmur, a fraction of a second of complete silence, and wham! Before the audience could catch its breath, the Ellington juggernaut was rolling in high before another captivated crowd of music lovers. Applause, applause, applause. Next thing I knew, Duke was introducing Some of These Days. I was so absorbed in wondering what in the world Ellington would do with this tune that I didn't hear him call my name. The band went into an introduction, and all of a sudden, Cootie nudged me with his elbow and said I was on. Duke stood at the piano, giving me his well-known show-me smile. The tempo was way up as I edged to the microphone, trying to find what key they were playing. And then, as my ears and fingers coordinated into the melody, Duke left the piano and whispered to me, "Sing the next chorus and play two out choruses, you know, like Louie." Well, the only words I could come up with were, "Some of these days, mumble, mumble, scat, mumble, scat." Then, at the finish, I hit a high C and held it, but the band then hit a series of chords which I had to scramble to find notes to fit. After what seemed like hours of this, I hit an altissimo A. The band for once made the same chord, and I was home free, covered with sweat that poured out from everywhere. That was my initiation into Duke Ellington's band. Ellington had put me on the spot. Nobody said a word, and it was years later, when I mentioned the episode to Duke, that he told me, "I wasn't concerned. I knew you could do it. That's why I picked you for my band." Thank you.
Wow, the awesome sound of the Duke Ellington Band. That was live at the Cotton Club in 1937 with Caravan. That must have been a tremendous band to hear live. I regret that I never had a chance to hear the Ellington Band. So to sum up, if one can, about Ellington, clearly I love his music, and I hope I've helped you to better appreciate what his towering achievements were. He fused improvisation and written jazz score together better than anyone before or since. Ellington explored new realms of harmonic invention, melody, and clearly had a rhythmic signature that were uniquely his own, though always changing. Ellington the man was exceptional by any measure of human experience. His inventiveness and scope as a composer was unmatched. He created music in nearly every possible form: popular song, ballads, suites, concert and sacred music, blues, scores for movies, plays, and television. And from small combos to symphony orchestra, he was constantly reinventing his music, always pushing the envelope, expanding what was possible, and bringing his musicians to new heights of creativity they were surprised themselves to find. Everyone who met Duke Ellington came under his spell, and he was the greatest flirt of all time, by all accounts. Duke Ellington's saga was larger than life when it came to love and sex, food, travel, personal style, and honors received. Ellington was given more and higher honors than any other musician before or since. Over 300 various awards were bestowed on him worldwide. Duke Ellington was depicted on the postage stamps of four nations and received the highest civilian awards that the United States and French governments had to offer. I think Ellington's music has a universal appeal that no other music has. For me, I feel that the sounds, the colors, the flavors, the elegance, the Ellingtonness are just beyond compare. My thanks to the talented voice actors, Michael Tucker and Joe Hughes, who read as the voices of Duke Ellington and Rex Stewart, and to public radio station KALW in San Francisco, and to Command Productions, where their voices were recorded. This Jazz Rhythm Centenary celebration of Duke Ellington, his musicians, and his music concludes with another live performance at the Cotton Club in 1938, Harmony in Harlem. And since I never saw or met Duke Ellington, I'll leave the final word to someone who did, Rex Stewart. I'm Dave Radlauer. That's Jazz Rhythm. Thanks for being with me.
I've given this a lot of thought. Ellington is the most complex and paradoxical individual that I've ever known. He is completely unpredictable. A combination of Sir Galahad, Scrooge, Don Quixote, and God knows what other saints and sinners. Deep down, under this facade, there is the devout man who reads the Bible every day, and the caring family man who never forgets for a minute the ones he loves, and at the same time, rarely did he forget or forgive anything.